Unit 4. Answering questions and multiple choice.
Listening activity number 11. Susan came to a Barclays bank and talks to a bank clerk. Listen to their conversation.
Good morning. What can I do for you?
Good morning. I'd like to open a bank account.
What kind of account do you want?
I'm not quite sure. I'll be a college student. I simply require a safe place to keep my money and easy access to it. Can you recommend an account for me?
All right. Do you get a grant?
No, I will be supporting myself.
I see. You could open an instant account.
What's an instant account?
Basically, it's an interest account. It has all the usual current account facilities such as a cash card and a deposit book, except a checkbook, and pays competitive interest on your account when it's in credit. There are two levels of interest for this account. If your balance is up to £500, the interest is 5.25%. If your balance is £500 or over, it attracts an even higher rate of interest, which goes up to 7.25%. You will receive a cash card for our machines, so you can withdraw money with the card from any machines or any Barclays branches when the bank is closed.
Oh, I see. How can I withdraw money if I have no checkbook?
Well, you have to withdraw money either using your card or visiting your branch.
I see. How can I find out how much money I have in my account?
You can ask your branch and tell them how often you would like to receive your statement, which provides you with a permanent record of income and expenditure. It will show every transaction on your account and the balance remaining at the end of each day. You can also use your cash card to check your balance.
That's fine. I think I'll open an instant account.
Listening activity number 12. You will hear a job interview. As you listen, answer questions 1 to 10.
Please sit down, Mr. Wilson. My name's Jane Smith, and I'm the personnel manager.
Hello, how do you do?
Now, this is just a short preliminary interview. I'd like to talk about your present job and what you've done up till now.
Yes, of course.
Well, could you tell me how long you've had your present position in Evening News? It is Evening News, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. I'm not sure. Let's see. I left university in 2002. Is that right? Yes, 2002. Then I was unemployed for about 2 months. And then I travelled round Britain for a few weeks. So it must be more than 3 years now, in fact.
Yes. And have you any particular reason for wanting to change your job? I mean, why do you want to move?
Well, I actually like my present job and still find it interesting. The salary's okay, so it's nothing to do with money. Though you can always do with more. I suppose the thing is that I'm really very ambitious and keen to get promoted. So that's the real reason.
You say you like your job. Can you tell me what aspect you like most?
Oh dear, that's difficult. There are so many things. My colleagues are quite nice to go along with. So there's a good cooperative atmosphere. And compared to other presses, the working conditions are great. I mean, the office itself is good.
Yes.
And then there's the fact that as a journalist, I regularly write articles about what is happening at home or in the world. So I have to make decisions. I must be responsible for what I have written. You know, that's what I really like most about the job. They give me lots of room for initiative.
Yes. Well, we're looking for someone who isn't a clock watcher and who isn't too concerned about working fairly long hours.
Oh, I don't mind that. I'm used to it. I often work irregular hours. I was very often made to work at night. Some sort of job that would come up, that was very important, and they said it had to be finished. It's got to go into the newspaper the next day. There was a lot more pressure in writing an article for the newspaper.
And what about your education? You went to Leeds University, didn't you?
Yes. After leaving school, I started a diploma course in design at the university. But I decided to change courses and did a postgraduate diploma in social and public policy instead.
Good. Have you done any courses since?
Listening activity number 13. You'll hear a dialogue between a foreign student and a student union officer. As you listen, answer the following questions.
Good morning. Can I help you?
Yes, I'd like to know something about the British medical scheme.
Yes, what's your question?
Can I use British doctors if I fall ill?
That will depend on how long your course of study is. If it is 6 months or more, then you are entitled to treatment from the British medical scheme, called the National Health Service, NHS, as if you were a British citizen. With the NHS, consultations with doctors are free, but you will be asked to pay something towards the cost of medicines. In 1987, this is £2.40 for each item of medicine. You are also entitled to free treatment in British hospitals. Always make sure the doctor knows you want treatment from the NHS, as doctors also take private patients, who pay the full cost of all their treatment.
How do I make sure I can be treated by the NHS?
If you are eligible for treatment, that is, you are registered on a course of 6 months or longer, then the first thing you should do is to register with a doctor. You should register with any doctor close to where you live. Local post offices have lists. All you need to do is visit the doctor or the doctor's receptionist during consulting hours and ask to be included on the doctor's list of patients. If the doctor decides to accept you, you will then be sent a medical card by post, which will carry your National Health Service number. Take great care not to lose this. If the doctor cannot accept you, try elsewhere or contact the local family practitioner committee. You can get the address from the post office or any doctor. Find out your doctor's consulting hours from the doctor or the receptionist and ask whether or not you need to make an appointment before seeing the doctor. Remember to be on time for any appointment you make. You can see him or her during those hours, unless you are seriously ill. If you are seriously ill, the doctor can be called out to see you. Once you have registered, you should tell your warden, landlord, landlady, or a friend the name, address, and telephone number of your doctor, so that if you are suddenly taken ill, the doctor can be called out to see you.
I see. Could you tell me something about British hospitals?
Yes. Hospitals provide specialist treatments, or treatment for which any kind of extended stay is required. Your doctor will recommend you to go if it is necessary. Casualty or emergency treatment following accidents is free for everyone. As not all hospitals provide such services, you should find out which local hospitals do, in case you ever need treatment.
How about dental care in Britain?
You can find lists of dentists who give National Health Service treatment at local main post offices. You do not register with a dentist, but you should ask whether they are willing to give you NHS treatment. As dentists are free to accept or refuse patients, and to provide private treatment only. If you are accepted, you should give the dentist the NHS number, which is on your medical card. There is a charge for all dental treatment. For basic treatment, this could be up to £17. More extensive dental treatment will cost more if you are not registered with a doctor. You will have to pay the full cost of dental treatment as a private patient. You will have to make an appointment to see your dentist and should give notice if you are unable to attend an appointment or you will be charged for loss of time. You should try to have your teeth checked at least once per year by the dentist. From the NHS, you are entitled to a free 6-monthly checkup.
Thank you very much. This helps me a lot.
Listening activity number 14. You are going to listen to the director of a college talking about his school. Listen to the talk and answer the questions.
Many of you already have a reasonably firm idea of the general subject area you wish to study. Others are more open and searching for ideas. Whatever your situation, I hope you find that we have a course that meets your needs. Our firm aim is to be a student-centred institution with a special emphasis on flexibility. This begins with our attitude to access. We judge people on their motivation and commitment to study as much as, if not more than, formal qualifications. This is reflected in the vitality and diversity of our student population. Some of our students come direct from sixth form or college. Others are coming into higher education after a short or long gap from formal education. Some are seeking a specific set of skills with a particular job or profession in mind. Others are retraining or studying to give their careers a new direction or dimension. Some are learning about the very latest scientific, technological, and commercial knowledge. Others are stretching their minds on sensitive environmental, social, and cultural issues. Even a casual observation of the mix of our student body indicates that we're close to our aim of being a polytechnic for the whole community. To meet our students' needs, we have 500 academic and a further 500 support staff committed to good quality teaching, high standards, and sensitive and sympathetic student care. We have probably the longest experience of understanding and dealing with the differing needs of a diverse student population. I hope you'll find a suitable course at the Polytechnic College. If you want to come to the college and we consider you suitable, we'll do our best to find you a place. And when you're here, we'll work hard to make your experience enjoyable, stimulating, and educationally rewarding.
Listening activity number 15. You are going to hear a talk about Bell College. As you listen, answer questions 1 to 10. First, look at questions 1 to 10. Now listen to the talk.
Welcome to Bell College. The aims of the college is to foster the growth of international understanding through the provision of a high standard educational course. Second, the college is based in a residential setting for adult students from abroad. And last is to make a positive contribution to the development of teaching English as a foreign language. Bell College is one of a group of schools run by the Bell Educational Trust, a non-profit-making educational foundation. The college offers an attractive environment for study and leisure for students aged 18 or over. 160 students live in comfortable single and twin study bedrooms on the campus, and a further 70 or 80 with carefully selected local families. The excellent common room facilities in the college are matched by the extensive gardens and sports fields. Superb academic facilities, including a modern learning centre and library and sophisticated computer networks, are available for students' use in class hours and in the evenings and at weekends. A wide range of courses is offered in three areas: the main English program, teacher training, and English for specific purposes. The teaching staff are highly qualified native speakers with wide experience of working in schools, colleges, and universities in many parts of the world. Living in an international community of 30 or more nationalities is an important part of the Bell College experience. Great stress is laid on pastoral care, and the college has its own medical centre. A busy and interesting programme of sporting, cultural and social activities is provided in the evenings and at weekends with excursions to many parts of Britain.
Listening activity number 16. Anna receives a phone call from her friend Peter. You'll hear an extract from their conversation. As you listen to the conversation, answer questions 1 to 10.
Hello.
Hi, Anna. Look, I'm sorry to bother you so late. I just wanted to ask you a little favour.
Oh, sure. Well, I'd like to help out. Anything you want.
Look, I'm going to London for a week.
Oh, how wonderful. Oh, I wish I could get away on holiday.
Look, I got a problem, though. I got some cats, and, I need a home for them.
Oh, well, the only thing is, how many of them are there?
Well, there's only two.
Oh, well, that's okay, then. I think I still have a box, but it's pretty worn out and a bit dirty. Not too nice, you know.
Well, I think that'll be all right. I'm sure it'll be fine as long as you clean it up. I mean, you will have to clean it up because, well, I didn't want to mention this earlier because perhaps, but one of them is pregnant, you see. One of the cats is pregnant and she's going to be delivering pretty soon.
Oh, no. I'm a little nervous about it now. I mean, I don't know if I can cope with that.
Of course you can. Look, I mean, they're okay. She looks after her babies. She had six the last time. You'll love them.
Six? Wow. That's just a little too many. I mean, oh, I don't think I could cope with that, I mean. And how do I tell when they're due, you know, when they're going to be delivered?
Very simple. You see, the mother starts spending more time in her box and starts meowing a lot. You will know that she's ready to have the babies.
Well, what kind of food do I have to give them?
Very simple. They don't need anything, and the mother nurses them for about 5 to 6 weeks. You just give the mother cat food and milk.
Well, does it have to be hot?
No, just fresh milk.
Anyway, why do you keep them? I mean, don't they cause you an awful lot of work and trouble?
Oh, no, they're so sweet. They're so beautiful. You're going to just love them when you see them. They're so nice. Look, the mother also needs some fresh milk every day.
Well, how often do I have to give her milk?
Just 2 or 3 times a day.
Well, here's an idea. Why don't you bring what they need? Then I'll just have... Then I won't have to worry about it.
Okay, I could do that. I'll bring a big bottle of fresh milk and a large box of cat food. Then that should be okay.
A large box? How long did you say you're going to be away?
Now look, don't start worrying too much. She may not produce these little cats this week at all.
Well, I sincerely hope not. I mean, I'm not used to this sort of thing, you know.
Listening activity number 17. You're going to listen to a talk about the food we eat. Look at questions 1 to 10. Now listen to the talk.
Welcome to The Food We Eat, sponsored by Safeway. Increasingly, we know more about the effects of our eating habits and lifestyles on our health. While new information can change old ideas, the new stories can often be confusing. At Safeway, we try to help customers not only in the range and types of food offered, but also by providing up-to-date, reliable information in areas we know are of interest and which relate to the diet we eat. Today, we are going to talk about sugar. Recently, doctors have been advising us to eat less sugar. The health recommendation to use less sugar is for 2 reasons. Firstly, for the sake of our teeth, since the amount and frequency of sugar consumption links to decay. Secondly, as sugar is a good source of calories, it can easily be a problem if we tend to be overweight. The dental risk is because bacteria, which occur naturally in our mouth, feed on carbohydrates, sugar and starch, to form plaque and acid. Plaque is a sticky coating that prevents the bacteria being removed by saliva. The acid attacks the tooth itself. This takes time, however, so the trick is to avoid sticky foods like sweets, which stay around in crevices feeding the bacteria. Regular brushing, preferably with a fluoride toothpaste, helps remove particles and resist acid. The worst thing you can do is nibble sweet things between meals. It puts your teeth under constant attack. A sweet tooth develops gradually, and you might be surprised at how you can steadily unlearn the taste, taking in fewer calories and saving your teeth. Here are some ways. A. Gradually cut down the sugar in tea and coffee till you can stop altogether or switch to sweeteners. B. Choose snacks with a lower sugar content. Fresh fruit, raw vegetables, crackers, milk or low-fat natural yogurt. Remember, some fruits like raisins have lots of sugar. C. Look for reduced sugar alternatives. There are more and more around, from diet drinks to yogurts, even jams and sauces. D. Try gradually to cut back on the sugar you use in cooking, especially in baking.
Listening activity number 18. You are going to listen to a talk about au pairs in the UK. Look at questions 1 to 10. Now listen to the talk and answer questions 1 to 10.
What is an au pair? An au pair is a single girl without any dependents who comes to the UK to learn English and to live as part of an English-speaking family. She is not a domestic servant, but may help in the house for up to 5 hours a day for pocket money. Suitable tasks would be light housework and taking care of children. She should have one day each week completely free, and she should be free to attend language classes and religious services if she wishes. Pocket money should be between £15 and £20 per week, and she should have her own room. Before she arrives, she should have as much information as possible about the home she is going to and what she will be expected to do. She will find it helpful to have a letter from her hostess explaining the arrangements to show the immigration officer when she arrives. An au pair must be a single girl aged at least 17 and no older than 27 when she first becomes an au pair. She must be a national of a Western European country, which includes Malta, Cyprus and Turkey. The longest a girl may stay in the UK as an au pair is 2 years. A girl who has been in the UK before as an au pair will be allowed to come to the UK again as an au pair only if the total period is not more than 2 years. An au pair is not allowed to take a job in this country. The light household duties which are part of the au pair arrangement are not regarded as employment. An au pair who is a national of a country which is not in the Commonwealth or European Community, EC, and who is admitted for longer than 6 months will normally have to register with the police. This will be shown in her passport. She must take her passport and 2 passport size photographs to a police station. She will have to pay a fee, about £25. If an au pair wishes to stay longer than the time stamped in her passport, she may apply either by post to Luna House, Croydon, or in person at one of the public inquiry offices. If she applies by post, it is a good idea to send any valuable documents by recorded delivery post. She should apply before the time limit on her permitted stay runs out. She must show that the arrangements are still those of an au pair. She may change host families during her time in the UK, providing that the new arrangements are also those of an au pair. That's the end of side one. Now turn over to side two.